It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Rob Ferret. This summer marked the 50th anniversary of the country's Civil Rights Act. It outlawed discrimination in the U.S. based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. The 1964 Act is considered landmark legislation, but it wasn't actually the first law of its kind.
Wisconsin Civil Rights Act was passed in 1895, 7 decades before the country's. Here to tell us about how that law came into existence is Claiborne Benson, founder and executive director of Wisconsin's Black Historical Museum. Claiborne, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me today. So I got a little cold, but other than that, I'm here.
Excellent. Well, we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
How did Wisconsin's Civil Rights Act apply? What did it encompass back in 1895?
I'd like to say to you that Wisconsin has been at the forefront of civil rights activities since its very beginning of the state's history. I mean, simple things like slavery did exist in the state of Wisconsin, but when the state became a state in 1840, they applied for statehood in 1846. They eventually became a state in 1848. They denied African Americans having the right to vote in that. But when I say denied, the citizens of the state took it to the streets in the 1850s, much like the collective bargaining issue in Madison. So was Milwaukee, Wisconsin in the 1850s in terms of demanding the right to vote. And in the Governor William Randall's election of 1857, they made it a referendum item, and indeed African Americans gained the right to vote. It was hung up in the courts for a minute, but eventually the courts clearly said that we always had a right to vote. And I only mention these things, and there are even more, because Wisconsin has always been dealing with issues and fighting for rights legally. Now, we're talking about the civil rights bill that occurred in 1895. The judge cites the 13th and the 14th Amendment. And so he's not just dealing with Wisconsin. He is saying that we live in this one country, and there was a war fought for us to have these rights. And he read the 13th and the 14th Amendment to say that Mr. Howell should have the right to set.
Well, let's back up a little bit. I want to get the start of this whole story, because it's fascinating. Now,
it is.
You're talking about Owen Howell, and
yes,
this was the kernel that planted Wisconsin's civil rights law, you know, back in 1895. What happened to Owen?
I don't know what happened to him after the
but that initial story at the theater.
In 1898 and 1890, they filed a lawsuit, and it's William Green that actually takes the case to making it a law. But it's Howell who demands justice for discrimination in the courts. He is sold a ticket to come into the theater, and the usher then addresses him to a balcony seat where he feels uncomfortable. He says he doesn't want to sit there, and the matter ends up in court. And as I said to you, the judge refers to the 13th and the 14th Amendment in terms of that indeed he is right, that he should not have to be seated other than any other citizen in the in the theater. And so he won the case. And then later, William T. Green, who is a local attorney who works with him on that case, goes on to get the measure passed as a state legislature and a law. And the law still does exist today.
Now, that's an interesting story, because this is back in 1895, 50 years or 70 years before the
Well,
the
can
civil
I tell you why it's interesting? There are two things that the citizens really wanted, and they never got the second thing. But the first thing was to get this discrimination bill passed. The second real important thing that they wanted to get is to be able to date and see whoever it is, or marry whoever it is that they choose to marry. And that included, because there was a law against it, that included white women. that African Americans wanted to have the privilege to marry a white man if they chose to do so, or and likewise if the woman chose to do so. Those are the two major things, and the issue of the marriage came after the turn of the century. And then one other thing I wanted to share with you is that this comes on the heel of the passage of Plessy versus Ferguson in 1896. Plessy is testing the law in Louisiana, and it becomes a national issue. But the South and the citizens want a return to the way things used to be. And that's the very reason why Lincoln passed the 13th Amendment to end slavery and to demand rights. And yet this country passed Plessy versus Ferguson in 1896, just after our Civil Rights Bill of 1895.
Now, going back to the civil rights law, once it was passed, it was, you know, it was way ahead of its time. Was it actually observed? Was it enforced?
Oh, yes, it was. And in fact, in my lifetime, I've seen a number of people prosecuted under the same law. Oh, very much so. A small fine, I think what was the fine, $25 or $50? $50 is, and there was some incarceration as well, but it was observed, and no question about it. It took the citizens to thresh ahead and to demand that the state be accountable, and they were. But yes, it was observed. Again, the law is still on the books today.
And did it, do you think, change any of the racist attitudes of the day?
I don't think so. No, I don't. I think that Wisconsin's been always progressive. And then there is those, I mean, clearly the state of Wisconsin passed the personal liberty law late 1840s. I mean, that's way ahead of its time. And if you saw the movie 12 Years a Slave, where the Solomon North is jacked off the street and put back into slavery, Wisconsin was fighting for that to make sure that that law is on the books. And it passed. And it's Wisconsin who produces military soldiers and an African-American regiment and the only African-American officer to fight in the Civil War, the only one. Wisconsin does all kinds of interesting things. But again, when I talk about these accomplishments, I can talk equally about negative things. They're not confused. They go out of their way. They're the only state in the Union to defy the Fugitive Slave Law. That's a constitutional law, and that law is serious. And Wisconsin goes on record to say, this is not a law in which we're going to obey. But that doesn't mean that they want it to be our brothers or our sisters or our next-door neighbors. There is a fine line there. The accomplishments, yes, but on the other end, the KKK arrives. There's lynchings in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1861 between ethnic groups back and forth. There are all kinds of things that have happened in the state that makes it unique and special.
Well, Claiborne, we'll leave it there. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, well, that was too short, but thank
you. It goes by fast. We've been speaking with Claiborne Benson, founder and executive director of Wisconsin's Black Historical Museum. The country's Civil Rights Act turned 50 this summer, but Wisconsin's law barring discrimination in public accommodations based on race came first by 70 years. Mm-hmm.